Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your everlasting grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that, God, you are gracious and we thank you, God, that you are forgiving. Father, today would you just impress us again with the power of your forgiveness and your mercy that is shown to us in Christmas. Settle our hearts, focus us on you. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 to 5. In those days, John the Baptist, he came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And I think it's important to talk about the story of John, about his ministry, because this is actually the beginning of where we need to start with Christmas. A lot of times we hear about Christmas, and we often talk about giving and such. And I wanted to start with John, because John comes before Jesus, and it's really important that we recognize that. But when we think about Christmas, what are we thinking? You know, with all the commotion about Black Friday, and now lately in the past couple of years, there's Cyber Monday, there's new decorations in the mall, intense advertising, and they're all giving the good news. Christmas is coming. You know, how strange is it that we get our good news, we get the message of Christmas, we get the declaration that Jesus is coming, not so much from the church, but because Macy's is this blinding, bright light of shining decorations. Wherever we go, we see commercials, we hear the theme songs, we see reindeers, we see all of these adornments and decorations. It seems like the commercial sector knows very well what Christmas is, and they're telling us daily. So how do you feel about Christmas, I might want to ask? Do you feel burdened? Are you thinking about gifts? Are you thinking about all the preparations that will be required for Christmas service here? Are you thinking about the stress that will come when your in-laws invade your house and do things that only in-laws can do? Are you thinking about the stress of, like, yes, I'm getting some days off, but that means I have to work extra hard before and after? Are you indifferent? Has it been, you know, Christmas comes every year, and every year we do the same thing. Are you excited? Are you looking forward, hoping that this Christmas will be different? Or, for some, is Christmas sort of like the news of getting a gift you really don't want? Has anyone ever had this where they give you a gift, and you know it's not for you? It's like, why did you buy me an iPad or an Xbox 360? You know, I'm being very gendered here, right? Or, honey, why did you get me that gift certificate to Georgetown Cupcake when you know that I don't like sweets? Or I have a diabetic condition? You know, you're starting to think. And then, have you ever had that kind of gift given to you? It's like, oh, so why did you give me these golf clubs? You know, sometimes I think we kind of project that upon God, too. Do we look at God and say, you know, God, why are you sending your son? What's in it for you? You know, is this just a gift for your own sake? Is this really a gift I can use? Do I actually really want this gift? You know, we hear time and time again that Jesus is sending the gift of his son. What people might want to ask is, like, do you really want the gift of his son? You know, many of us become so jaded to the message of Christmas that we wonder if it's relevant to us anymore. There's a lot of sentiment. There's a lot of emotion. In fact, many of us sort of dread Christmas because it talks about all of these positive stereotypes of what a family should look like and how family should be. And it just reminds me that my family is definitely not like that. It just reminds me that my family, my heart is broken. And it is hard to think about why should we get excited about Jesus. And maybe we came into Christmas with a lot of excitement, but today we come in and hoping that we can just grin and bear Christmas until it's over. But what I wanted to do in this season of Advent is something different. I want to challenge us all, young and old. Why is Christmas important to you? Why is Christmas important? And if we want to figure out why Christmas is important, we need to go back to basics, to the Bible. And I want to go back to the world of John the Baptist, a man born of a great miracle unto Elizabeth, given a great and important ministry. You see, he came in a time, and it's hard for us to read this because we've read this passage, some of you who have gone to church for a while, over and over again. It seems that it comes in a time when Christmas has never happened. Think about that. No one has ever heard about Christmas. They don't know what Christmas is. Let's enter into that world of John. He was talking at a time when God had promised to send someone, his anointed one. And that anointed one would save his people and liberate them from the oppression that they were suffering. It would be like a king in the line of David and would bring in God's triumph. And everyone was getting really excited about it. But the thing that happened is that a century passed, another century passed, hundreds of years have passed, and people are still waiting and wondering, does God come through with this? They were waiting for that Messiah to come. And now, after all this time, John has said, here's the good news. The Messiah is coming. The Savior is coming. Think about all the commotion, all the excitement. You know, I imagine it would be like this kind of mad dash like we often have in our shopping malls to the parking lots. You know, we're all trying to find that spot. We heard, you know, there's the good news. God is bringing out the most amazing gift. We're all flooding in. And this is what was happening. John was preaching out in the desert, and everyone is flocking out to the desert, wondering, you know, we want to hear more about this. John, are you the one? Think about the commotion and the excitement. And John is growing in popularity because of the excitement about this message. And think about all the masses that are gathering. And we think that this is how we're going to reach people with Christmas. We tell them about the exciting news. But as everyone comes out, John surprises everyone with some pretty strong words. And here's the word of God. It says this, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the coming wrath?" Basically, what he said, it was like, you treacherous schemers, what makes you think you can taste of God's salvation so easily? And I'm thinking here, as a pastor who has to preach every week, I'm thinking, John, you have terrible delivery. You know, you're trying to draw people into the church, you're trying to draw them to Jesus, you get them all in a big crowd, and they're all excited to hear about the coming Savior and the Messiah, and what do? You look at them and you say, you brood of vipers. Like, wow, John, you're going to your popularity, your Nielsen rating is going to drop like crazy. Terrible delivery. And this kind of message will turn many away. But this is often what happens. You know, we're thinking of the Christmas season. This is the time to get in as many people as we can in the church because finally they have some understanding of, like, you know, giving and loving. This is a great time for the church to be more open. Let's usher them in. Let's give them a message of, like, God's got a gift for you. It's a really great gift. You know, you're not going to find it until you come into the church. And we sneak them into the church. But I think in doing so, we've forgotten that if we want to keep true to the spirit of Advent before the spirit of Christmas, we must preach the message of John. You see, John has nothing to do with candy coating the gospel. He says if you want to find Jesus, something is required. You see, we have given a Christmas message that is so thin on truth that all that is left is sentimental feeling. And we have paid for it in the long run. And that Christianity's only appeal is its sentimental pull to people. And you see, John will have nothing of that. John says to people, he says, you've come out into the wilderness. Do you think it's just a matter of coming out to a message? Do you really want this gift of God? Are you sure you want this message of the Messiah? It was like he was testing them. He says, you've come all the way out here to see the big commotion, but are you ready to receive the message? And don't get me wrong, I am going to talk about some other things in the next couple of weeks. Christmas is indeed a time of peace, of love, and of joy. But if you want to inherit that peace, love, and joy, we read, shockingly, there are requirements. And in a short word, the requirement is repentance. Do you wonder why you don't get the message of Christmas? Do you wonder, why is it that Christmas doesn't seem to be enough for me? Because there, and maybe the power of Christmas is lost on you because you have not entered through the door of that one simple word, repentance. You cannot understand the power and the impact of Christmas in your life if you do not enter through the message of John the Baptist, which preaches repentance. As we read further in Matthew chapter 3, John says, look at how you're treating your brothers and sisters. He says, do you want to meet the coming Messiah? Then you need to share your cloaks. You need to stop taking advantage of others. You need to stop lying. You need to put an end to your greed. You need to be content with what you have. And you see, this is the message that we must hear before Christmas. And I kind of thought, this is a terrible message. This is not the Christmas spirit. And then I began to think, well, what is the Christmas spirit? This is actually the beginning of the Christmas spirit. You see, as I was reading this, I was very convicted. In this time, everyone wanted some sensational debut of the Messiah. But they failed to realize that, do you really want to see this Messiah? Do you want this Messiah in your life? Then a change of heart, mind, and soul is required. Why is it that millions across the world, billions even, have encountered Christmas and walked away unmoved? It is because they want Christmas without the message of John the Baptist. Yes, we want that gift of God so bad. We want that freely given gift of God, but we do not realize that the gift will cost us everything. And that is the strange paradox of the Bible, that God's grace is freely given to us in forgiveness through Jesus Christ and the Son. But do you want this gift? It is freely given. But there is a response involved, a submission to God. And it is that kind of message that often gets relegated to, like, oh, you're just talking, like, that's just strong religious talk. But you can't get around it. And that is why many of us have not been impacted by the message of Christmas. I thought about it more as I prepared this message. Christmas is rarely a time where I hear about repentance and change. It's often a time where we sit eagerly and we await God's coming blessing. And what is that blessing that is to come? The blessing is that God is with us. But he cannot come near us. He cannot be with us if we do not come near to him. If we continue to say, like, you know, God, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to move, then how can we take hold of the gift that God is holding out for us? We lose the power and the reason for Christmas if we don't start with the simple truth. I need to change. I need a Savior. Things aren't right with my life. Christmas, the message is that Jesus has come to save you. But many of us have come before Christmas and we wonder, you know, what is God going to give me? What is God going to add to me? But you see, it's not kind of a thing where, like, he's going to give you a bonus. We come to Christmas in our poverty, in our weakness, in our brokenness. If we really want to feel Christmas, we must examine our hearts. If we are comfortable without God's grace, if we feel that all that we have in this life is really through our accomplishments, through our own resources. Where is the place of the good news of Christmas? Why look forward to a Savior if you don't feel like you need to be saved? You know, I've been called out before, not being sincere in my apologies, kind of saying like, yeah, I'm sorry, but am I really? And when I come face to face before God, sometimes, you know, it's sad but true, but as a pastor, we learn to say certain languages, like certain phrases, I should say. We learn about what sounds pious, and we learn about what sounds appropriate. But at every corner, God challenges me and says, you know, do you really believe this? Do you really need me? You know, there's a temptation to continue to have the form of Christmas, but not to realize the depth and the substance of it. You see, Christmas is indeed good news. Even the consumers, even the markets out there, even the shopping malls got it right. It is good news. But this is the good news, that God does not deny a broken spirit. He doesn't turn away from someone who is humbled. He doesn't turn away from people who step down from their pride and ask for help from God. The good news of Christmas is that God loves those who do not judge others because they know they have been judged by God and they've been forgiven. The good news of Christmas is that God forgives. More than just forgives, he loves, he's generous, and he transforms. Christmas is so powerful when we realize the world of John the Baptist. They were all waiting for a Savior. For hundreds of years, they were trying to liberate themselves from their oppressors, but they couldn't. And they knew the only one who could do it was the Messiah. Christmas is about God saving us when we couldn't save ourselves, when we tried everything we could, but we couldn't do it. And Advent, I like to think, is an invitation. You know, we've spent Thanksgiving kind of just, you know, enjoying the excesses and all just the wonderful generosity of the blessings we have in our life. And that's a wonderful thing. But now as we prepare to journey into Christmas, let us kind of think again. Why did Jesus have to come anyways? You know, we often think because it comes every year, we think almost like we were entitled to get a Savior. And we lose the power and the message of the gospel. God has come to give us his gift of mercy. But that gift only comes if we repent. But if we repent, watch how God is generous. Watch how he changes our lives. Watch how he can heal us. Watch how he can do things that no one else can do but God. And that is the miracle of Christmas, the magic of Christmas, that though with us things are impossible, with God all things are possible. And so I encourage us to enter into Christmas in a slightly different way. Let us humble our hearts. Let us come before God and say, Lord, I need you. Because the fact is, December 25th is going to come for all of us. But many of us will come before December 25th and think, do I really need this gift? Do I need to be here? Some of us are saying, sure, I want what God wants. But let us hear the words of John the Baptist again. Are you sure you want this? If you want this gift, change is required. You can't keep living your life the same way. Something must change. Something must bend. And even now, I feel that maybe God is speaking to you. There's something in your life right now that needs to change. Christmas is a time to do that. Time to let go. Time to change. Let us prepare ourselves for the coming King. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess we love to receive your joy and your generosity and your gifts of blessing. But Father, for a moment right now, would you just take hold of us and calm our hearts? Show us, Lord, for us to inherit the blessing, a change must be required in our hearts. Would you help us to receive the hard and difficult message of John the Baptist? Help us to prepare a way for the coming King by turning our hearts to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.